This is Free Thought Radio with co-hosts Dan Barker and Annie Laurie Gaylor. Irreverent views, news, music, and interviews.
Imagine there's no heaven. It's easy if you try.
Welcome to Free Thought Radio, the weekly broadcast of the Freedom From Religion Foundation. I'm Annie Laurie Gaylor.
And I'm Dan Barker, your friendly neighborhood atheist. This week's show is broadcasting on the weekend of March the 12th and 13th, 2001. We broadcast on Saturday, March the 12th, in Madison, Wisconsin. And we also air other parts of the weekend in Atlanta, in Grand Rapids, Michigan, and in Monterey.
The Freedom From Religion Foundation is the nation's largest association of non-theists, atheists and agnostics, and other skeptics. 16,000-plus members, members in every state of the country and every province of Canada. And we work for the separation of religion and government. We have brought more than 50 lawsuits, and we try to solve problems without going to court, and we're going to talk about two of those problems on this show today with newsmakers and activists.
We have two newsmaking guests today. On the second half of Free Thought Radio, we'll be speaking with Justin Griffiths. He's a free thought activist at Fort Bragg, North Carolina, where it seems they have nothing to brag about in terms of how they are favoring religion over non-religion. This is quite a story.
Justin Griffith had organized a Rock Beyond Belief event for April 2nd at Fort Bragg after the Army had assured FFRF and Justin that it would grant the same kind of financial and personnel support that the Army had granted a Billy Graham crusade on the base last fall that we had protested. The Army reneged last week on its promise, withdrew support. Justin has had to cancel the event. He had lined up Richard Dawkins, and he had lined up you, Dan, among others, to speak.
Yeah, and I was all ready to play some of my rock and blues songs for the Rock Beyond Belief. Well, this is quite a black mark on the United States military that they are disallowing freedom of expression.
So on the phone with us now from Virginia, we have our first newsmaker of the program, a young woman we have talked about on Free Thought Radio the last few weeks, Sarah McNair.
Sarah McNair is the Freedom From Religion Foundation's 2011 recipient of the Thomas Jefferson Youth Activist Award, which includes a $1,000 cash scholarship. It's for speaking out against the Ten Commandments in public schools in Giles County, Virginia, when she was in high school, and for continuing to speak out against this imposition of religion on public school students, as now the Freedom From Religion Foundation has brought a major complaint in Giles County, which has, at least for now, brought down the commandments from public school walls.
So it's quite a story. Welcome to Free Thought Radio, Sarah.
Thank you very much. Glad to be here.
Now, you do not actually live in Giles County proper anymore, is that right?
That's right. I moved back up to Northern Virginia after college.
But we have been very pleased that you've been available to the media in Virginia and elsewhere looking for someone in Virginia who doesn't think there should be Ten Commandments posted on classroom walls. And you've been scarce. People like that have been scarce.
Right, I imagine.
So you told me that you were not originally from Giles County. You and your family moved there when you were in 10th grade?
That's correct. I grew up in Northern Virginia, but my second year of high school, we moved down south.
And so why didn't you tell us, what you noticed when you went to that school? There were a couple of things going on that you didn't like.
Right. When I first got there, I don't think that I immediately noticed the Ten Commandments on the wall. What stuck out to me more was on the morning announcements, they would say, "Have a great day and God bless." Obviously, that comes down from the president. All kinds of our government officials say that at various events, so it didn't seem so odd, just a little different, and, I wasn't pleased with it. And then I would say, you know, a week or two later, I started paying attention to the Ten Commandments on the wall and just couldn't really wrap my head around why they were up there.
And I know that you waited a little bit before complaining, but what did you first decide to, when did you first decide to complain about it?
Well, I went for that after I tried to get them to stop saying God bless on the announcements, which was a very short-lived success. I think they stopped doing it for a couple weeks and then went right back. And after that, just seeing a couple of the bullyings going on with some of the more outsider students, if you will, it just got to be too much, and no one else was doing anything about it, and it didn't seem like anyone was willing to speak out.
Was it religious kind of bullying against non-believers, or what was the bullying?
The one instance that sticks out in my mind is a student put some kind of sticker on the back of his jacket. I don't think it was religious or anti-religious in nature, but it was against the norm of the other students, something about maybe not hunting or not wearing camouflage, something like that. And because he went against the social norm in the school, another group of students took the jacket and ripped it to shreds. Mm. And it was just indicative of how closed off they are to any sort of religious or non-religious diversity down there.
Well, before we continue, can you tell us a little bit about where Giles County is located?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. It's in southwestern Virginia. It's about 10 to 20 minutes away from Virginia Tech in Blacksburg, Virginia, and it borders the West Virginia line.
So it's a kind of rural area then?
It is. It is, definitely. The eastern part of the county is a little bit more influenced by the university, but the western part is certainly the more rural and sort of closed-minded, if you will, section.
So where was this Ten Commandments posted in your school?
They were in the lobby. As soon as you walk in the school up the steps and through the door, the principal's office and administrative offices were on your right, and the first wall as you go back had the Ten Commandments and apparently the Constitution or whatever other documents they had up there.
And I think we've seen a picture of it, and you can read the Ten Commandments pretty clearly. It's a paraphrase,
mm-hmm.
but the Constitution's little itty bitty.
Right.
Because it's all on, what is it, an 8.5 by 11 sheet of paper?
Right, yeah.
And was there more than one poster?
I believe there was just one. At this point, you know, I've blocked most of high school out of my memory, so I know there is at least one in each public school in Giles.
So did you contact the principal about it, or what did you do?
You know, at the very most, I may have mentioned it to the principal, but considering the reaction I had gotten from him on just other things, I don't think we really got along very well. I took it way above everyone's head and just started writing letters to, you know, the state officials. I think I just pretty much skipped over all the lowly school board officials.
Which is probably the best way to do things, actually.
Apparently.
That's what we do. We always go to the superintendent, at least, if it's a principal we are complaining about. Now, what was impressing me, and this, what year are we talking about?
This was in 2004.
So in 2004, when you were a 10th grader,
mm-hmm.
you kept all the copies of the letters that you sent out and got back, which you must be very organized.
You know, it's funny. I'm actually not that organized. I was a big writer when I was in high school, so I had a lot of documents. But back in 2004, I kept everything on floppy disks. So ironically, it was easy to find those documents because they're the only floppy disks that I have left amongst all my other flash drives.
Well, it's an act of God that you were to keep those, right?
Yes, I'm
sure. Yeah, I want to know something, though. You know, why did they bother you? I mean, aren't the Ten Commandments the basis of American law and the basis of human morality? Why would you be bothered by something like that?
You have to know Dan is being facetious.
Oh, I've certainly figured that.
So what would you say to those people who always say that kind of thing?
I mean, why did they bother you? I mean, what's wrong with them?
Well, for me, I mean, obviously now I see how they're unconstitutional. At the time, I wasn't so focused on the legal side of it as just the general, not that they're morally wrong based on what they say, but that it was wrong for a public school to post them because it was basically putting a sign on the school wall that says, we like our Christian students. All others can get out of our way or, you know, something like that. And it just, it didn't, they weren't welcoming, they weren't opening their arms to all of their students. They really just seemed to care about the welfare of only the Christian ones.
So as a student, that's how you felt when you saw that sign, those commandments up on the wall then?
Absolutely. You know, if I had been more timid, I would have just nodded my head if someone asked me if I was Christian, you know, and just sort of lied to everyone out of fear because it is just a big statement up on the wall.
Is it right that your family is basically Unitarian?
Yes. My mom and dad are Unitarian Universalists. I think they may or may not still belong to the university, Unitarian Universalist Church down in Blacksburg.
So you had a very secular family, basically.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Well, we are going to take a short break and talk a little bit more about why you contacted the Freedom From Religion Foundation these many years later. When we complained back in December and January, when we got a complaint about, we didn't realize that Giles County, Virginia had been putting up the Ten Commandments for about 11 years in their classroom walls, and then we made a complaint, and that's how we met you. So I'm Annie Laurie Geller with Dan Barker for Free Thought Radio. We will be back in a minute to continue our conversation with Sarah McNair, the 2011 winner of FFRF's Thomas Jefferson Youth Activist Award.
Hi, my name is Herb from Charleston, South Carolina, and I'm on Free Thought Radio.
The things that you're liable to read in the Bible, it ain't necessarily so. This is Free Thought Radio.
And that is from the movie The Ten Commandments. That's the first commandment with Charlton Heston. I am the Lord thy God. And that's what is up on the school wall in many public schools, including in, it has been in Giles County, Virginia. It is now down and it might go back up and again. We're going to watch this developments. I'm Dan Barker here with Annie Laurie Gaylor and welcome back to Free Thought Radio. We're talking with Sarah McNair, a young mother, a student in Virginia, about the situation in Giles County, Virginia, where the Freedom From Religion Foundation, up to this point, has been able to get the school board to remove these unlawful Ten Commandment posters in public schools there. Sarah, as a student, had protested this violation many years ago, contacted us when FFRF made its first public complaint last year over the state church violation. And Sarah McNair is the Freedom From Religion Foundation's newest recipient of the Thomas Jefferson Youth Activist Award.
So, Sarah, you contacted us, I can't remember if it was December or January, when our staff attorney, Patrick Elliott, wrote the letter complaining to Giles County. Is that right?
That's right. I think it was in January.
And it was very nice to hear from you and very, very valuable. And there's been a lot of media attention. You've been in demand, haven't you?
Yes, I have. A little more than I was expecting.
So tell us some of the media interviews you've been doing.
Let's see. The first one was with the Roanoke Times, and it was a sort of a short article, just a little bit of background with my involvement in the whole Ten Commandments issue. And from there, the Washington Post did an article in the education section. I think I was just mentioned in one little line. And then eventually, I will be interviewing with Nick News. And last night I just did a phone interview with WSLS that aired at, I think, 11 o'clock last night.
And that's Roanoke TV.
That's correct.
And the media, the journalists and reporters that we've been talking with have all been very nice to deal with.
Absolutely. They've all been so nice. And the way that they ask the questions, and they could just be very good at their jobs, obviously, but it kind of sounds like they're on our side of things.
Well, the latest news is earlier this week there was a walkout at one of the Giles County high schools. Did they contact you about that?
Yes, that was the interview that I had yesterday. It was actually my old high school that had the walkout.
Who walked out?
Well, the religious students.
Mm-hmm.
Discouraging.
There were, about 200?
Yeah, they walked out. Apparently, we were told they were out for about 3 hours.
Mm-hmm.
And then one of them at least got disciplined because they want the Ten Commandments back up. Dan is looking at me unbelievingly.
I've been traveling for a while, yeah. So I missed that news.
And it's so discouraging that they don't stand up for the Constitution and for freedom of conscience. Here they are wanting theocracy in their high school.
Mm-hmm.
Well, weren't they wearing them on their T-shirts and putting them on their lockers, which is okay, right? It's their private speech.
Yeah.
Sure.
That's
on their lockers would be fine.
If they allow students to put anything on their locker, then it's fine. Mm-hmm. If they put the Ten Commandments up, I wouldn't want the school rules to be broken in their favor. So, well, what's going on with this is we are in a waiting game because the superintendent was with us. He took the Ten Commandments down when Patrick first complained on behalf of FFRF. Mm-hmm. Then the school board put them back up, and then they took them back down with hardly any explanation. So the Liberty Council, Matt Staver's trying to get them to sue, and we've got plaintiffs lined up, brave plaintiffs, and we will go to court if they go back up. But we have been so grateful that you, Sarah, had complained originally and that you're willing to talk to the media about what's wrong and how this harms students.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm glad there's at least one of me.
Did you take any flack when you were in high school because of your views?
I certainly did a little bit. I think for the most part I was just passed off as the new girl and sort of a foreigner since I was from the northern part of the state. So it was never actually taken seriously.
A liberal student.
Yes, yeah. A liberal.
Well, you must have had friends. I mean, weren't there others who agreed with you on campus?
Yeah, absolutely. I had, I had a couple of them that completely agreed and a couple of them who were a little more neutral and we're like, yeah, you go for it. I don't really care either way. But the problem is when you are a Giles County native and your parents know everyone knows your family, it's very hard to speak out against, what everyone around you is for.
The status quo. Yeah.
Exactly.
So this really shows the problem of religion in the public schools.
Mm-hmm.
And you feel that it is tied to bullying in that community?
Yeah, a little bit, certainly.
Well, we are really appreciative of your speaking out, and we can't wait to see you on Nick News. We've been talking with Sarah McNair.
And that's School Days, played on Calliope, Oregon.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
I'm Dan Barker with Annie Laurie Gaylor. We've been talking with one young activist, Sarah McNair of Virginia. Coming up, a young military enlistee who is an atheist in a foxhole at Fort Bragg in North Carolina. He's the organizer of a free thought event there, which the military has refused to support in the manner that it supported a Billy Graham soul-winning revival at that North Carolina Army base last fall. So don't miss this news-breaking upcoming interview with Justin.
Ask for a sample issue of Free Thought today and find out more about the Freedom From Religion Foundation at ffrf.org or phone 1-800-335-4021. This is Free Thought Radio. As Mark Twain said, faith is believing what you know ain't so. This is Free Thought Radio.
I'm Annie Laurie Gaylor, here with Dan Barker.
Last September, Fort Bragg, the Army base in North Carolina, put on and hosted and supported a huge Billy Graham religious meeting called Rock the Fort. They gave it a lot of money, a lot of support, and the free thinkers at Fort Bragg wanted to have an alternative called Rock Beyond Belief. The organizer of that event is Justin Griffiths, and we just found out some late-breaking news that the Army, the base there, is not going to allow, as they promised, equal funding and equal support for the Rock Beyond Belief. We have on the phone with us Justin Griffiths, who is a sergeant in the Army. He joined over 4 years ago. He's from Dallas, Texas. He's married, and they just had a baby a few weeks ago. Maybe he'll tell us about that. I think her name is Zoe. So, and he'll tell us about this issue of discrimination at Fort Bragg. So welcome to Free Thought Radio, Justin.
Thanks, Dan. I appreciate you having me on here. And hello, Annie Laurie. Both
hello.
Are heroes of mine.
And you have to read a statement, don't you? You have to read some kind
yes.
of... Okay.
Yes, I'd just like to clarify that I do not speak on behalf of the Army or the Department of Defense. I speak from personal opinion and experience. And I'm coming on the show as Justin and not Sergeant Griffith, though I am active duty non-commissioned officer in the Army.
Yes, sir. Then we understand.
Sir, yes, sir.
So, not of that.
So, Justin, for listeners who might not know what happened at Rock the Fort and why this was so maddening. You're the person who contacted the Freedom From Religion Foundation. You contacted other similar organizations to complain before it happened. Why didn't you tell us what was involved with it?
Well, with Rock the Fort, that's basically a evangelical Christian event whose stated goal was to convert as many soldiers, civilians from the surrounding community to their version of Christianity. And that is way beyond the scope of the established law regarding the chaplaincy, et cetera. So I was shocked to see that it was even allowed to happen. But several organizations, including Freedom From Religion Foundation, who were instrumental in getting this noticed, especially at Fort Bragg, they wrote to the Lieutenant General Helmick there, and he fired off a reply that said, basically, that the reason why he's not going to cancel Rock the Fort was because he would be willing and able to provide the same support to comparable events sponsored by similar non-federal entities, which we certainly are. And, I mean, he went on to explain it further. I'll spare you. You can all look it up on the wonderful Freedom From Religion Foundation website. They've got all of this archived, and it's on there. But we were getting that. We were actually getting that because the legal department over at Bragg, that they actually had recommended, oh, he's right, you know, they've got it, they do one for do for one, they got to do it for the others. So we were getting like massive support from all the secular organizations, and you know, people reaching out, like all of our lineup, they waived their honorariums, like everyone, and it was working out. And then just last week we received a final decision letter based on all of the events that had transpired so far. You know, all the people that signed off, yes, green light, go, yes, make it happen. Rock Beyond Belief is a go. And then the commander, the garrison commander, Colonel Szczynski, he put out a decision letter that basically crippled us with last-minute restrictions that were never brought to the table, never brought up at all. In the 5 months that we have been planning this, you know, the day after Rock the Fort we started. So he canceled the venue, which is the only venue big enough to host. I mean, you take away everyone on the lineup and just leave Richard Dawkins alone. That's way, we triple, quadruple the tiny janitor's closet that we were, shoved into there.
So they were not giving equal support like they promised they would be giving.
I mean, not even close. We actually, even if we wanted to accept their tiny venues or whatever to carry on, we were unable to pay for the hotel bills alone for the rest of the funding that was promised, you know, to equal treatment.
How much did they spend for the Rock the Fort?
Well, that's a complicated question. It's hard to quantify exactly how much all the manpower was worth, but if we just put that aside for now, you're talking roughly $54,000 in non-appropriated funding from the CTOF fund, which I'll get into in a second, but then also from appropriated, like government U.S. tax dollars. Certainly there was security, $30,000 for security, the Golden Knights paratrooper team, who knows how much the insurance is for the event, all sorts of things that weren't even referenced in the FOIA documents. That
you mean the Golden Knights, they flew over the event then?
They flew and landed on the event. That was one of the main attractions.
It must have cost a fortune. And you were saying, Patrick Elliott at the Freedom From Religion Foundation did make a Freedom of Information Act request, which it's taken months to get response on, and then it was inadequate. But they did not even include any of these personnel costs. And so we have an appeal going, and you know how that goes. FOIA appeals, we're waiting and waiting and waiting. But they did not even make it clear where the money that when they sent us some breakdown, it was over $50,000 in breakdown. It wasn't even clear where that money came from. You were saying it was it from the chaplaincy itself? We're unsure, but
I'm still not even clear because what I've heard from chaplains is that the money came from what's called the Chaplain Tithes and Offering Fund, which is a non-appropriated fund. That means that, it's cash donations that they're accepting at all the chapels. And fine by me, whatever. There's several different non-appropriated funds we can get similar treatment from. We don't even need to tap that one for them to be willing and able to support us in the same dollar amount. But that fund, it's odd. If you look at the FOIA documents that you were able to obtain, it's cryptic. If you add up all the numbers, they don't even add up to the final total. And also the very last entry, they seem to be paying themselves $2,168 out of their own. I don't know. It's bizarre. So it's still not clear and certainly needs to be clarified with further FOIA document release. So we'll see how that pans out. Obviously, it won't be in time, but, the public deserves to know.
Let's get a picture here of what went on last September with the Billy Graham Evangelical Association, which is one of the wealthiest ministries internationally. And yet they had, according to the documents we got, they had hardly any duties. Most of the duties were by Fort Bragg chaplain officials or whatever. But they took over the camp fort, didn't they, during this Saturday event?
Well, Fort Bragg is very large, but you could effectively say that the vast majority of the people on a weekend day like that, on a beautiful day, were coming in to this event. And, you could certainly say that they rocked the fort and that they were successful with their membership drive. You know, that they were certainly, successful with their goals. And they've been doing this at other bases, too. And I'm so glad that people finally stopped it now.
Well, we got to find out some more information about these other bases so we can investigate there, too. But this was aimed at people on the military people. This was aimed at people in the community. And there was a huge outreach to local ministers. And it was co-sponsored by the Fort Bragg Chaplaincy. Isn't that right?
Yes, that's absolutely correct. In fact, they not only the Fort Bragg Chaplaincy, but it was officially endorsed by the Public Affairs Office, the MCOM. I was the proud owner of at least a dozen posters and flyers, and I didn't, I didn't even want them. They found their way to my desk somehow.
So, this is massive military support for evangelical Christianity.
Right, which, of course, means proselytizing, like directly converting other people as if they aren't complete or whole as they are. And, it just goes to show that this whole spiritual fitness concept is vacuous crap, It's the spirit. It was billed as a spiritual fitness event by the chaplaincy, by all sorts of means, by all of their $12,000 worth of advertising budget on religious radio stations, on regular radio stations, on the newspaper around here, full color ads of their posters, etc. It's a spiritual fitness event. Which, what does that imply to me? That says, hey, you're not fit unless you go to this spiritual fitness event. And that's just goes along with the standard army line that they've started tapping out with this spiritual fitness concept, which is just
Now we're going to go to a break in a couple minutes, but before we do, can you explain, you've also given us information, you had to take a spiritual fitness inventory, which all soldiers now have to do online, isn't that right?
Yeah, it's a mandatory test for all soldiers active duty, And I believe even the Reserve and National Guard are beginning to take it now, and then the Air Force is looking into theirs as well. It tests you on emotional, social, family, and spiritual fitness, each of those sections. And it's absolutely mandatory, which, I mean, that's unconstitutional right there to have a religious test. And, then there's three or four hours of online training that's also mandatory. Several units are forced to talk to their chaplains about their results, et cetera.
Now, did you fail this test yourself?
Of course I failed.
So you're not fit. You're not fit to serve our country, Justin. Wow.
You're an atheist in a foxhole. So have you had to have several hours of this online religiosity forced on you?
Well, I read the fine print, and it certainly says, under threat of Article 15, you must complete all required information, et cetera. And you were being very polite just now, Dan, when you said, you're not fit or whatever. This is what it really says, if you pardon me reading this really quick. It's, you may lack a sense of meaning and purpose in your life. At times, it is hard for you to make sense of what is happening to you and others around you. You may not feel connected to something larger than yourself. You may question your beliefs, principles, and values. Nevertheless, who you are and what you do matters. There are things to do to provide more meaning and purpose in your life. Improving your spiritual fitness should be an important goal. Change is possible, and the relevant self-development training modules, blah, blah, blah. It goes on to say, take this training. So, and it certainly is mandatory training as well. And it's ugly and swimming with mandatory religion, which is obviously unconstitutional. I mean, it's just, it's disgusting.
Well, so how did you sneak in to become a sergeant then, if you're so unfit?
Exactly. And the way that the only non-religious things that they have in the spiritual sections of their training are like, you may not know it, but getting a haircut is a ritual.
Oh, dear.
Well, I get my haircut every 2 weeks. I don't know how I failed.
Well, we are talking with a true atheist in a foxhole, Justin Griffith. We hope he'll be getting an Atheist in Foxhole Award from FFRF at our upcoming Lake Hypatia July 4th event in Alabama. We are talking about all kinds of violations of the separation between religion and government in the military that he has encountered as a sergeant at Fort Bragg. He is speaking for himself now as an individual. And we'll be right back to finish the conversation.
Hi, my name is Howard, and I'm from Warren, Michigan, and I'm on Free Thought Radio on a Saturday.
Beware of dogma. This is Free Thought Radio.
And I'm Dan Barker here with Annie Laurie Gaylor for Free Thought Radio. The U.S. military is supposed to be defending American freedoms, the freedom of speech and the freedom of religion. But at Fort Bragg, North Carolina, the Army base there, they appear to be doing just the opposite. They supported a huge Billy Graham meeting there last September, but now have refused to support a Rock Beyond Belief event, which was scheduled for April the 2nd. We have on the phone with us Sergeant there, Justin Griffiths, who's speaking for himself only and not for the military, who has been the main organizer and now has just come down with the news that the event was canceled. So, Justin, tell us a little bit about what was supposed to be happening on April the 2nd this year at this huge event. You put a lot of work into this thing. What was going to happen?
So much. I don't even know where to begin. We were going to have a giant kiddie land for bring the whole family out. Dale McGowan, author of Parenting Beyond Belief, well, editor of and author. That's just a perfect combination right there. And we had so many speakers lined up. Yourself graciously accepted our invitation to speak. And we had, just to name a few, Jen McCrite from... You know, she does Blag Hag and came up with the boob quake meme last year. That was kind of a, internet sensation. It was excellent. And
for Islam, yeah.
Yeah, and even Richard Dawkins himself said early on that he was 1,000% behind us. And we penciled him in as he penciled us in on his calendar, very busy calendar.
And some rock bands and some music and rock bands in that too?
Right, yes. Certainly we have Roy Zimmerman, who's very famous for his parodies of, Larry Craig is completely heterosexual. Also, Ted Haggard is completely heterosexual. he's kept up with the news. Baba Brinkman, who is like a evolution and science rapper, excellent, excellent stuff. He actually pledged to write a song about spiritual fitness and sing it or rap it, spit it live, as they would say. And we had Jeffrey Lewis, Spoonboy, a local band, words such as Burn, who was a great rocking band. It was just going to be a great time. And
so it's all falling apart because of one signature.
Right, exactly. But I mean, I'm still holding out hope because we can't stop now. You know, if this particular date doesn't work out because of this particular signature, then the public pressure and the legal pressure, everything that we need to do to make this happen will happen. And be it next September, whatever, we will be careful about announcing a date a little more careful this time, announcing a date ahead of time. But we will make this happen and put this Pandora's box to rest in the process, because they will be taking a hard look at what this policy they violated is, you know. And just so you know, I've taken it upon myself to research the Billy Graham Evangelical Association's website, and none of their calendars have any Rock the Fort events for this year.
So then
I called them, and I asked them, and they said, "What's your name, Rock the Fort? We don't even, you know." They're like, "Do you mean Rock the River, which is their civilian counterpart, right?" And I'm like, "No, Rock the Fort, the military event." And they're like, "What's your name?" And I said, "Justin." They're like, "Hold on 1 second." You know, they said they knew who I was instantly. And they're like, "You're being evasive." I'm like, "No, you answered my question. You said there's no Rock the Fort events. I'm good with that. I'm good."
Now that makes me ask you the question. How have you been treated? What's the atmosphere like at Fort Bragg? And have you taken reprisal? Do you feel comfortable? Do you feel like you could be discriminated against in other ways?
For the most part, in my unit, I'm very, like, I would say popular or well liked in my unit. I'm a very squared away soldier. I always make sure I'm on time, do my job 100%. I stay late, show up on weekends if I have to. I make everything happen. You know, I'm very much active in my workplace. And I basically, as long as I, don't commit career suicide with some stupid comment or something like that, there's nothing they can really do. But if you're talking about discrimination or fight back, it's not coming from within my unit. There's certainly some coming from up above, like the comprehensive soldier fitness people who put out that mandatory test we talked about earlier. They directly ordered my unit's public affairs office to disengage in their support of anything that I deal with the media, which, I mean, wasn't much anyway because it was so early on in this process. But, you know, they were actually tapping into all of the contacts that people were calling for interviews. As soon as I told my public affairs office, they were telling the other side, up in the Pentagon, "Hey, he's talking to Diane Sawyer," or "Hey, he's talking to whoever." And, you know, like, that bugged them enough to where now I have no support from public affairs. So, I mean, there's certain little things like that, but I know what to say, how to say it, and what not to say. And I am respectful and tolerant, and I think everyone is fine how they are. I'm not trying to, I'm not trying to make two wrongs don't make a right. So I'm not trying to, come and attack other people. I just want respect and tolerance for foxhole atheists everywhere.
And that does lead me to point out that there's one study showing, you're saying you don't have problems from your unit, one study showing that about 24% of enlisted people in this country are non-religious, higher than the usual, random 14 or 15% that we see. So there's an awful lot of you out there that are getting a lot of religion from the military.
Yes, definitely. And you know, it's so pervasive from up top and not on the lower level that it seems like it's systematic. And even myself, I felt like, oh, there's no way I can do anything about this test that came out or this Rock the Fort. But I'd just like to let any of your listeners out there that may be in a similar situation, you can make a difference. Do it respectfully.
Well, you
do it
certainly
right,
have. And thank you, and congratulations on your baby daughter, Zoe.
Who Zoe, yes.
Came, what, February 17th?
February 17th, 10 pounds, 9 ounces, giant baby.
Well, thank you for being with us today. Justin Griffith, a sergeant at Fort Bragg, North Carolina, protesting religious discrimination there. We also want to thank Brian Tarani, our engineer, and our producer, and our announcer, Buzz Kemper. This show is recorded in Madison, Wisconsin. Find our archives and sign up for the podcast at ffrf.org/radio.
Ask for more information at ffrf.org or phone 1-800-335-4221. Enlist in FFRF and support our work to keep state and church separate and promote free thought. Tune in next week for more rational radio and blasphemous broadcasting.
Free Thought Radio is a production of the Freedom From Religion Foundation, FFRF.org. Irreverent views, news, music, and interviews brought to you by Annie Laurie Gaylor and Dan Barker.
I hope someday.